So this morning we'll discuss from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll be focusing on chapter 24 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is titled as Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Our specific verse for today is verse number 16, canto 4. Chapter 24, text 16. Text 16 goes as follows. Vidurauvacha Pracheta Samgitrena Yathasit Pati Sangamaha Yad utaha harapritas tanno brahman vadarthavat vidurau vacha prachetasam giritrena yathasit pati sangamaha Yad utaha harapritas tanno brahman vadarthavat vidurau vacha prachetasam giritrena yathasit pati sangamaha Yad utaha harapritas tanno brahman vadarthavat Viduram vacha. Vidur inquired. Prachetasam. Of all the prachetas. Giritrena. By Lord Shiva. Yatha, just as, asit, it was, pati, on the road, sangamaha, meeting, yat, which, uta aha, said, haraha, Lord Shiva, pritaha, being pleased, tat, that, nah, unto us, Brahman, O great Brahmana, Vada, speak, Arthavat, with clear meaning. Translation. Vidur asked Maitreya, My dear Brahmana, why did the Prachetas meet Lord Shiva on the way? Please tell me how the meeting happened, how Lord Shiva became very pleased with them, and how he instructed them. Certainly, such talks are important, and I wish that you please be merciful upon me and describe them. Purport, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Whenever there are some important talks between a devotee and the Lord, or between exalted devotees, one should be very much curious to hear them. At the meeting of Naimisaranya, where Sutta Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to all the great sages, Sutta Goswami was also asked about the talks between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. For the sages believed that the talks between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit must have been as important as the talks between Lord Krishna and Arjun. As everyone is still eager to learn the subject of Bhagavad Gita, in order to become perfectly enlightened, Vidur was similarly eager to learn from the great sage Maitreya about the talks between Lord Shiva and the Prachetas. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripatam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripasindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tatho jayamudhirayet nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Vidur asked Maitreya, "My dear Brahman, why did the Prachetas meet Lord Shiv on the way? Why did they meet? Please tell me how the meeting happened, how Lord Shiva became very pleased with them, and how he instructed them. Certainly, certainly such talks are important. And I wish that you please be merciful upon me and describe them." So this is a very interesting section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam has got several Gitas in it. Uddhava Gita, Bhramar Gita, Venu Gita, Gopi Gita. So here we are just at the onset of something about to begin, which is called as Rudra Geet. So that is what is the title of this chapter, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiv, because Lord Shiv also has got this name as Rudra. So we are on the onset of Rudra Geet, which is going to start from tomorrow, and then it's going to continue till the end of the chapter. Now, what are the circumstances that has led to the situation that is what we are going to discuss in Srimad Bhagavatam today? What has led to this situation? So let's discuss a quick context leading up to this verse, and then we'll be able to understand what's going on much better. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is a conversation between several devotees. On one hand, between Sukhdev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. On another hand, between Sutta Goswami and the sages, then there is Maitreya Muni and Vidur conversing. So many exalted personalities are conversing with each other, and those conversations are captured as Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the chapter of Maharaj, the pastimes of Maharaj Prithu have concluded in the last chapter in one sense, because it was directly about Maharaj Prithu's life and what he did. So it was very direct about Maharaj Prithu, and that concluded in the last chapter. And the whole chapter is a conversation between Maitreya Muni and Vidurji. Now, chapter 23 continues in one sense about Maharaj Prithu. It's not stopped in that sense, because now it's talking about his lineage. The previous chapter, chapter 24 continues talking about his lineage. In the previous chapter, towards the end of the previous chapter, especially the last verse of chapter 23, gave a Falashruti. Falashruti is the benefit of hearing that particular pastime. Falashruti for that pastime means the benefit of hearing that particular pastime or reciting that pastime. So the Falashruti, which was given at the end of chapter 23, the previous chapter, was that anyone who narrates, recites, discusses the pastime of Maharaj Prithu, such a person will undoubtedly attain faith and attraction towards the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So the Falashruti was given to the speaker largely at that point in time, anyone who speaks, narrates, etc. Now, this Falashruti was given by Maitreya Muni himself. So given this Falashruti, why would Maitreya Muni stop? Maitreya Muni is continuing from there, and he can't stop continuing to talk about the pastimes of Maharaj Prithu in that sense. But Maharaj Prithu, having disappeared now, he is now shifting the focus on the descendants of Maharaj Prithu. And that is how this chapter begins, from its text 1, and today it's coming to text 16. So it is mentioned at the beginning of this chapter that Maharaj Prithu had, his eldest son's name was Vijitasva. Vijitasva, it is mentioned, also had another name which was more popular, which is called as Antardhan. Antardhan means that he had the ability to appear and disappear at his own will. How did he get this ability? He got this ability by pleasing Lord Indra. What did he do when Lord Indra was trying to steal Prithu Maharaj's horse at the time of the sacrifice? Then Vijitasva saw that, but he did not do anything about that. So then, therefore, Lord Indra was very pleased with him, that he did not go and, you know, in English we say, rant about me to everyone. So he just did not discuss that with anyone. Of course, Srila Prabhupada gives several reasons for that, why he did that. Prabhupada says that sometimes when exalted personalities, okay, I mean, when Lord Indra, in one sense, is an exalted personality, that's why he is the chief of the demigods. Yes, you know, from a pure devotional point of view, we may address him many times as Mishri Bhakta, but then he is also having the darshan of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna himself has put him in that position. So we cannot take away that fact from Lord Indra. So therefore, Prabhupada mentions that sometimes when great personalities, you know, do some mistakes, then one has to overlook those, oversee those mistakes, and then keep moving ahead in life. And also, Vijitasva or Antardhan, it is mentioned that he was anyway very soft by nature. So when you are very soft by nature, you can't see the faults of people. So because of that, he just did not do much about it. But Lord Indra was very pleased that, you know, he didn't say anything to me. Therefore, he blessed him, saying that just as I have the mystic power of appearing and disappearing, then I will give you the mystic power, and therefore you can also do it. So this Vijitasva, the eldest son of Maharaj Prithu, he is being discussed a bit in the earlier texts of this chapter. It is also mentioned that he was a very affectionate person, and he was very benevolent, especially very affectionate and benevolent towards his own brothers, in the sense that he gave parts of his kingdoms to his brothers. In Kali Yuga, we see brothers are often fighting for the property. But here, he's taking the charge and actually giving it to all his brothers. It is said that he was not only soft, but he was very Brahminical by nature. Of course, so being soft is a nature, is a Brahminical nature in itself. But it is mentioned that he was extremely Brahminical in the sense that he used to do a lot of sacrifices, Vedic sacrifices. Yet, it is also mentioned that he was very, very devotionally inclined. So it was just that, not just that he had some good sadachar or he did some, he was adept at Vedic sacrifices, but most importantly, he had a very devotional mindset. And because of the devotional mindset, towards the end of his life, he performed intense devotional service, and it is said that he attained Salokya Mukti. Salokya Mukti means attaining the same planet as the Lord. So that was the pastime about the first eldest son of Prithu Maharaj, whose name was Vijitasva or Antardhan. Now, this personality had several sons from his various wives, and from one such wife, he had a son whose name was Havirdhan. So Havirdhan is very briefly mentioned, and it is said that this Havirdhan had a very famous son again, which is Vijitasva's grandson, Havirdhan's son, whose name was Maharaj Barhisat, and who is extremely relevant to this pastime now. Maharaj Barhisat. This Maharaj Barhisat, who comes in the lineage of Prithu Maharaj, he was expert, it is said, he was expert both at Karma Kand as well as Ashtanga Yoga. So it's a very good, in one sense, it's a very rare combination. In Kali Yuga, of course, it's impossible to have this combination, but very, very rare. But at that time, it was there, and Maharaj Barhisat was known. Expert at Karma Kand and expert at Ashtanga Yoga as well. It is said that in earlier yugas, people who had such abilities, such powerful people, were often given big responsibilities. Even at workplace, we see more the abilities, more responsibilities will come our way. So therefore, at that time also, such people were given very tall responsibilities, depending on their capabilities. And it is said that at that time, the responsibility of taking up the role of a prajapati or the progenitor, a person who takes bottom line to populate the earth, that there were a lot of vacancies in that position. Therefore, when Maharaj Barhisat showed such leadership and abilities, then he was asked to become a prajapati. So we have heard of several prajapatis in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma, of course, is the original personality, and then we have Manu, we have Daksha, and now we have Maharaj Barhisat, who was also given this responsibility. So, given this responsibility, he got married to the daughter of the ocean, Satadruti. We have a lot of senior personalities. Please accept my obeisances. Speak on the mic. Okay. So, he got married because he was given the role of Prajapati. Because he was a very powerful personality. So it is said that he married the daughter of the ocean, whose name was Satadruti. And then Prabhupada mentions in that section that Satadruti was so physically attractive that all the demigods became very attracted to her. And then Prabhupada takes that opportunity to remind all of us about the about being very cautious about being attracted to the opposite sex, especially when we have taken vows to follow Brahmacharya. Of course, this is true even for Grihastha Ashram. So it is true for everyone. And Prabhupada says, this one thing can make a person fall down from a very exalted position. The attraction to the opposite sex. So Srila Prabhupada takes an opportunity to remind us about the perils of that. So it is said that Maharaj Barhisat and Satadruti, who he married, begot 10 children. And it is mentioned that these 10 children were very, very expert at dharma, jnana. They were highly devotional. They had a high level of devotion, bhakti, and they also exemplified sadachar, behavior. So that's a very good combination to have for anybody. Dharma, knowledge of dharma, knowledge of jnana, knowledge of being a devotee, bhakti, and sadachar, behavior. So, these 10 children, they were called as prachetas. Now, being a prajapati, we just saw that Prachin Barhi, which is the another name of Maharaj Barhi Sat. He was also known as Prachin Barhi. So Prachin Barhi, he wanted his sons also to take up the same responsibility. Just like sometimes a doctor may want his son or daughter to also be a doctor. So Prachin Barhi also wanted that. So he told his sons to follow suit, and then his sons left, and then they went underwater to perform some meditation. Okay, so now when and the intention was to follow the footsteps of the father, but they went near the water, something happened which was completely contrary to what Maharaj Barhisat would have desired. At that and it is in this context that Lord Shivji is being reintroduced at this juncture into the Srimad Bhagavatam, who came timely as the guru of the Prachetas, and then whatever happens is now going to be discussed in the future verses. So the Prachetas meeting with Lord Shivji, and what Lord Shiva then speaks, which is the Rudra Gita, forms the rest of this particular chapter. Now, having heard that the Prachetas met Lord Shiva, in today's verse, Vidura is asking Maitreya Muni, why did this meeting happen? How did this meeting happen? How come Lord Shiva was so pleased with the Prachetas? And what instructions did Lord Shiva give to the Prachetas? So Srila Prabhupada now is not focusing really on the Rudra Gita in this particular purport. So Srila Prabhupada takes this opportunity again to give us lessons in this purport. And that is what we will focus on, Srila Prabhupada's purport today. Srila Prabhupada's purport that we have read focuses today on the importance of hearing Krishna Katha. And Prabhupada says, as we read in the purport, that there are two types of Krishna Katha. Words which are spoken by Lord Krishna, which is Bhagavad Gita, and the Naam, Guna, Rupa and Leela of Lord Krishna with his, the Leelas which Lord Krishna performs with his devotees, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada specifically gives examples of exalted speakers as well as sincere hearers. And Prabhupada says this combination, Prabhupada has given this in several purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when there is an exalted speaker and there is a sincere hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam, that combination results in conversations which are eternally relevant to humanity. And therefore, Prabhupada in this purport gives examples of Lord Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his conversations, the most perfect Achyuta, giving instructions to Arjun, then Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, then Maitreya Muni and Vidur now discussing this. The point, interesting point is, all these hearers had perfect questions and all the speakers had perfect answers to those perfect questions. So that is the beauty of all these conversations. Therefore, these conversations are captured in the Srimad Bhagavatam and they are eternally relevant to mankind. So today, we will just invest some time in reminding ourselves about how important hearing or Shravanam is for all of us as practicing sadhakas. So there are a few points that we will talk about, around 10 to 11 points that we have. So we will quickly go through all those points. So the first one is that Prahlad Maharaj, who speaks about the Navavidha Bhakti process, Prahlad Maharaj, when he describes the Navavidha Bhakti, the nine processes of devotional service that are very important to rekindle our love, for dormant love for Lord Krishna, he quotes Shravanam or hearing as the first one. It is always said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So Shravanam is topmost, number one. Now, again, Shravanam, as we said before, is classified as the siksha given by Lord Krishna, which is the Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, which talks about the Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela with his devotees. So Shravanam is the first component of Navavidha Bhakti. That is point number one. Second, It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, very first canto, in the second chapter, 18th verse, which we also recited when we said the prayers. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavatir naishtiki. So, again here, the importance of regular study and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is underscored at the very onset of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said that hearing is a very powerful and transcendental process by which the mind is purged of all its misgivings. And it is such a beautiful process that it establishes naishtiki bhakti. Naishtiki bhakti means bhakti which is irrevocable. Now, why is this word naishtiki mentioned there? It's because Maya is constantly dragging us during the day into lower and lower modes of material nature. For example, we may have had a nice morning doing the entire morning program, but when we go out there into the material world, it is not unusual for sadhakas to experience to realize that we are falling down into the lower modes. So when we are in, yes, everything is very nice, transcendental. When we go out, then sometimes, we start thinking, are we really devotees or not? How come such thoughts are entering the mind? How come I did such an activity? So sometimes it happens, how come I lost my temper like this? When I'm supposed to be in the mode of goodness. Okay. So sometimes it happens. And over a period of time, sometimes we do realize that we, all of us, have gone through this process, and many of us continue going through this process, that we feel that, okay, maybe the bhakti few years back was much better than what we are doing now. So many times we go through this phenomenon. So therefore we are how to be safe from this? That is why it is said nityam bhagavata sevaya, naishtiki bhakti, which is irrevocable. So as much as we hear Srimad Bhagavatam daily, if we have a very strict regimen of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily, then the Srimad Bhagavatam keeps reminding us, now that you are going to go into the material world. Or sometimes, even while walking to office, for example, when typically the mode of passion starts kicking in, if we have Srimad Bhagavatam plugged into our ears, up until the time that we reach the office desk and commence our activities, and obviously during lunchtime, if we are somehow able to again, discuss and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then we get reminded during execution of our daily duties, that yes, the goal of life is not what I'm, not this office at this point in time. Of course, we have to execute our responsibilities at work very diligently so that we become ambassadors of bhakti. If we do a sloppy job at our workplace, then nobody is going to even respect when we tell them that we are devotees. They will think that you are escapists. So therefore, as much as we give our heart to execute our responsibilities at workplace, doing justice to the salary that we take, but at the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam also reminds us that kashtan kaman arhate vid pujam ye. This is not the goal of life, working hard like a donkey, just to attain material sense gratification. So, therefore, nityam bhagavata sevaya. Nityam not only means every day, but it also means at several points in time during the day, it is good idea to have to keep hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever we get opportunity. Or we can study Srila Prabhupada's books, because Srila Prabhupada's books speak Srimad Bhagavatam to us. And Prabhupada said, my purports are my devotional ecstasies and I have not written them. It is the Lord who has dictated. So in one sense, Srimad Bhagavatam, the purports of Srila Prabhupada are also akin to Bhagavad Gita, which is Lord Krishna is speaking to all of us. So they are non-different in that sense. Now, it is mentioned that for all of us who are conditioned souls in this material world, Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned as Bhava Aushadhi. It is mentioned as the medicine for the sick mind. And not only sick, but it is a medicine for the vulnerable mind. The mind is very vulnerable. It may not be sick at some point in time. It may be very devotional, but it is very vulnerable to fall down. So, that's the second point which we want to discuss. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. So, Srimad Bhagavatam itself tells us to study it regularly. In fact, the third point which we want to discuss is Canto 10 itself opens with the importance of hearing Krishna Katha. The advent of Lord Krishna. The very first chapter in Canto 10. the very fourth text is very beautiful. It says, Nivritta Tarshair Upagiyamanat. Bhava Aushada Chotra Manobhiramat. Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanuvadat. Viran Puman Virajyeta Vina Pashugnat. Which means what? It says that glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is Krishna Katha, is performed in the Parampara system. It comes in the disciplic succession that is conveyed from the spiritual master, from a pure disciplic succession to his sincere disciple. And it is said, such glorification is relished. Who relishes the Srimad Bhagavatam? Such glorification of the Lord is relished by one who is no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of the cosmic manifestation. People who are no longer interested or who are completely exhausted in discussing mundane subject matters, the Srimad Bhagavatam attracts such people. And it says that descriptions of the Lord in the Srimad Bhagavatam are the right medicine, bhava aushadi, right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will stop hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher? Who will stop hearing these Krishna Katha except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Viman Purajyeta Vina Pashugnath. Pashugnath means killer of the cow. And Pashugnath is also called as killer of the soul. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada gives one of the most, a very elaborate purport. It's amongst his elaborate purports to that verse. This is Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 4. So that is the fourth point, a third point on hearing, that it is the bhava aushadi for all of us, medicine for the sick mind. The next point we want to discuss about Srimad Bhagavatam, about the importance of hearing, is that hearing gives us detachment. Attachment to material sense gratification is called as anartha. Anarthas are pride, anger, envy, greed, lust. These things keep us bound to the material world, and many times our actions, our thoughts are nothing but a manifestation of our pride, anger, greed, envy or lust. So it is said that by constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, this anartha nivritti happens. Detachment from sense gratification comes gradually, and once that comes, then taste for Srimad Bhagavata comes, ruchi for hearing Krishna Katha comes, and then gradually we get attached to Krishna Katha and Lord Krishna, which is the stage of asakti. So Srimad Bhagavatam has the ability to take one right from the platform of loose faith to the platform of pure Krishna prem. Now, specifically talking about this attachment to hearing Krishna Katha, Srila Prabhupada describes this stage as pareshanubhav, or spiritual satisfaction. And Prabhupada gives the example that this is like a hungry man who derives satisfaction in every morsel of food that he eats. The more he eats while he is hungry, the more he feels satisfaction and strength. So that is the fourth point we want to discuss on Krishna Katha. The ability to take one, to detach one from material sense gratification, and take one from the platform of loose faith to the platform of pure devotion. Specifically, in between, to take us to the platform of pareshanubhav. The fifth point which you want to discuss about in regard to the glories of hearing is from the Jaiva Dharma. In the Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about five stages in the gradual development of a devotee. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls the first stage as Shravana Dasa. Shravana Dasa means start with hearing. Shravana Dasa. Which then leads the devotee to the remaining four. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that without Shravana Dasa, you cannot go to the other four stages at all. What are the other four stages? Shravana Dasa is the beginning stage, which is hearing. Varana Dasa is the stage of acceptance. Then comes Smarana Dasa. Smarana Dasa is the stage of remembrance. Then comes Bhavapana Dasa, which is the stage of spiritual ecstasy. And then comes prema sampatti dasha, which is the stage of attaining the highest success of prema. So there, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is outlining these five stages. We talk to anybody, usually when you talk to any ISKCON devotee who has come into the movement and who has been for many years into the movement, they will always say that our attraction to Lord Krishna came primarily through the process of hearing. They heard from someone and got inspired. Or they heard from someone who is giving them a book on the streets about the glories of studying that book, and then they actually studied that book, and then they heard the purports of Srila Prabhupada as they were reading. So any devotee will, most devotees come through this process. Most devotees derive their initial impetus for bhakti by hearing from some other devotee. And then they from Bahir Mukhi, they become Antar Mukhi, and their loose faith, which is Shraddha, then it becomes condensed faith. They come to the platform of Nishtha or Naishtika Bhakti, irrevocable. So that is another point from the Jaiva Dharma. The sixth point, which also Srila Prabhupada makes in several purports throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam on hearing, is that hearing sustains the other eight limbs of bhakti. Out of the total nine limbs, hearing sustains the other eight. It is not uncommon for all of us to also have realized that the more we hear, the better we hear, the better is our chanting. And the poorer our hearing is, the poorer our chanting is. I think almost everyone will acknowledge that fact. Our chanting is quite connected. The quality of our chanting, the attentiveness of our chanting, is deeply connected with the discipline which we have in our lives in terms of hearing. And attentive hearing leading to attentive chanting. And conversely also true. Inattentive hearing, irregular hearing leading to inattentive chanting. So, Krishna Katha, the glories of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, it is mentioned, helps overcome several obstacles in our journey back to Godhead. Some obstacles are, the first one is attraction to the external energy of the Lord. Lethargy, which comes in devotional service, goes away by the process of hearing. Ability to maintain the four regulative principles, ability to maintain our vows. Many of us may think at the outset, yes, I'm maintaining my vows, I'm chanting my 16 rounds, and I'm following four regulative principles. That in one sense, thankfully, by the mercy of the Lord, becomes easier. But there are two things which are very difficult. Those are also in one sense vows that we take. Because when we take the decision not to do Naam Aparad, there are two things. One is inattentive chanting, which we are not able to follow many times, and blaspheming devotees who are engaged in the service of the Lord, criticizing, ridiculing devotees. These two things remain with us. Rarely will an ISKCON devotee go and condemn, you know, the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So those other aspects of Naam Aparad are relatively easier for us. I'm not saying it is easy, but relatively easier for us. But looking down on other devotees or getting a sense of one-upmanship because we have done something great, you know, some great project we have done, or we are doing something great, or we are respected devotees or senior devotees. So that thing can come, and then we can look down upon others who are not as advanced or who may be struggling in their advancement in bhakti. Or being in a neophyte stage without understanding the glory of a senior devotee, we may end up making some loose comments. So that tendency is what destroys the creeper of bhakti lata beej that is carefully growing within our hearts. So that, coupled with inattentive chanting, are two things which many devotees struggle with. And that is why it is said that it is only through sustained hearing do we get reminders not to do that, to be careful. As a struggling devotee, I am myself realizing that is so important in my life. The moment that goes down, then I say something which is very offensive, for which then I have to then apologize, and then, you know, it just, the chanting is just not the same after that. So hearing, constant hearing, protects us from these aparadas. Also, Constant hearing also sustains our devotional relationships. When we hear more, then we understand the importance of having affectionate, loving Vaishnava relationships with one another. Because at the time of death, and death can come any time, but assuming that death will come with old age and disease, assuming that will happen, and kaphavata pitta will come, at that time, who is going to, we may not be able to remember the Lord at that time, we may not be able to chant, we may not be able to do any of our projects at that point in time, right? So what will happen at that time? What will then ensure that we remember the Lord at the time of that? It is only the prayers of other Vaishnavas who are around us. So therefore, these relationships of the heart will come back to us in the form of affection of other devotees chanting for us at the time that we can't do anything. Also, hearing, personally for me, hearing has helped me and continues to help me balance material and spiritual responsibilities. Of course, I'm doing a very poor job at that. But still, at least it tells me that you are doing a very poor job of that. Constantly hearing. Otherwise, sometimes we may think that we are doing a great job in bhakti, but actually we are not. Right? So hearing keeps us in check. It keeps telling that, no, this is not enough. There is much more to be done in the realm of bhakti. You have not even begun. So that keeps us at least, in check. So, and also, there are many speakers. For example, being a grihastha, there are many grihastha speakers. There are so many exalted grihastha personalities sitting in this very room. So when we hear their classes, then we understand how to balance our material responsibilities as well as our spiritual responsibilities. So when we hear from such personalities, then we as practicing sadhakas derive so much. We derive the understanding how to make decisions in our life. Through the process of hearing, we will definitely, for hearing is top class, we are. It is highly probable that we will make right decisions. Because sometimes life puts us at a crossroads, we don't know which side to go. And when we hear something, and when we open the Srimad Bhagavatam and read a purport, and hear Srila Prabhupada speaking to us, suddenly the answer comes to us. The seventh point we want to discuss is something which is interesting from this Skanda Puran, which talks about hearing. This Skanda Puran reveals five aspects of hearing, actually. Let me put it that way. The first aspect, it says, is, it's very interesting. It says that the Skanda Puran begins with Lord Krishna's own admission. His own admission that faithful and attentive hearing is the only means of satisfying Lord Krishna. Faithful and attentive hearing is the only means of satisfying Lord Krishna. The second point it is mentioned in Skanda Puran is that hearing even half or one-fourth of a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing only half or one-fourth of a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is equal to giving 100 cows in charity. The third is, wherever Krishna Katha is spoken, and sincere hearers are there, and a speaker is speaking, wherever Krishna Katha is being spoken, then exalted personalities come descend at that place. The entire demigods come there to hear. They come down to the earth to hear wherever Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken. The fourth point, which is mentioned in Skanda Puran, is that the purity one attains by hearing Krishna Katha, the purity which one attains by hearing Krishna Katha is not possible visiting Badrikashram or taking bath at the confluence of Prayag. Even going to Badrikashram, that purity is not possible, which is simply possible by hearing. So, therefore, Lord Himself proclaims in the Skanda Puran, Lord Himself proclaims that those who participate in hearing Krishna Katha with devotion control him as much as a chaste wife is able to control her good husband. So Lord Krishna Himself is saying all these things. So the seventh point was on Skanda Puran, about the glories of hearing. In the eighth point, we want to discuss that the Shravanam or hearing, again, it's in one sense a repetition, but it is belabored in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Shravanam is the most vital aspect that delivers one from material life. Now, the goal of bhakti, bhakti has got two aspects. One is to remove our anarthas, bijam, kutam, remove all that. Remove the tendency to sin also. Not only to erase our sinful reaction, but also to remove the sinful tendency from our heart. So bhakti makes one sinless. But the goal of bhakti is not to remain sinless. The goal of bhakti, sinlessness is only coming to the human platform. The goal of bhakti is to attain Krishna bhakti. When we say Krishna bhakti, the goal of bhakti is to be re-established in our constitutional position in our rasa with the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, which is Lord Krishna. And to be able to serve, to get entrance back into Goloka Vrindavan, to be able to serve in our Siddha Dehas, that is our eternal constitutional position. So that is the goal of bhakti. Now, when that is the goal of bhakti, in that context, again coming back to Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that there are two types of hearing. The first hearing is called as Karmahina Shravana Dasa. In Shravana Dasa, Karmahina Shravana Dasa. Karmahina Shravana Dasa is mentioned as disjointed hearing. Disjointed hearing. Hearing something about this, hearing something from there. Random hearing. Through the speaker, randomly and hear. Disjointed hearing. Now, this disjointed hearing, it is mentioned in Jaiva Dharma, that it definitely has the potential to clear impurities from our heart. There is no doubt about that. About it clearing impurities and making us sinless. So, Karmahina Shravana Dasa can make us sinless, of which there is no doubt. However, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also writes that unmethodical hearing does not enable one to connect the seemingly disjointed threads of Krishna Katha. The seemingly disjointed threads of Krishna Katha, we cannot connect with unmethodical hearing. And then therefore one is not able to realize the relationship between the various leelas. And therefore rasa or loving mellows, which is the end goal of hearing, does not manifest in one's heart because of disjointed hearing. Thus, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends hearing in a regular, methodical manner and with resolute intelligence. And says that such systematic hearing is called as Krama Shuddha Shravana. Krama Shuddha Shravana. Kram means in a particular order. It says that this, he mentions there that Krama Shuddha Shravan helps a devotee conceive the sweetness and charm of Krishna Leela and gives us the inclination for spontaneous devotional service, and it makes spontaneous devotional service appear in the heart of the listener. So that is the power of hearing, just not to become sinless, but hearing Krishna Leela in a particular order, sequentially, that it leads one to one's own constitutional position. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned the same thing. He said, therefore, one should not jump to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should go sequentially from the first canto, then on to the 10th canto. And in the 10th canto also, we study in the sequence in which it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada says, if one performs such a study, by the time one comes to the 10th canto, one would have the necessary purification to then be able to understand the transcendental nature of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So that is the 8th point. The 9th point is about people who benefit from hearing and speaking Krishna Katha. So from a Srimad Bhagavatam session. So Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada writes that though Krishna Katha benefits the whole world in general, there are three entities who derive maximum benefits from Krishna Katha. The first one is the speaker himself. The speaker derives maximum benefits by speaking Krishna Katha. But Prabhupada cautions that not professional speakers, not speakers who speak Srimad Bhagavatam for earning their livelihood. or for the sake of money. Veda vihina chapatanti shastra. Shastra vihina cha purana patah. Purana vihina krishino bhavanti. Brashtastato bhagavata bhavanti. It means that professional bhagavatas, how they become professional bhagavatas, this verse says that people who cannot understand Vedas, who cannot understand transcendence, who cannot understand anything, who don't have intelligence, then they sometimes try to narrate the stories from the Puranas and try to understand something through the Puranas. If they don't have that intelligence also, then it is that Krishino Bhavanti. Then they realize this is not, Brahminism is not for me, let me go and do agriculture. But even if they fail to do something practical in life there, in agriculture, then Brashtas Tato Bhagavata Bhavanti. Then they become professional Bhagavatas. So, therefore Prabhupada said, this is not speaker. Srila Prabhupada reiterates that we should never hear from professional speakers, because Prabhupada again gives that example of milk which is touched by the lips of a serpent does not produce good effects. So, when you go back to the verse which you said, Nivritta Tarshair Upagiyamanat. So that Nivritta Tarshair means Srimad Bhagavatam speaker should be completely free from lust, anger, envy, greed and pride. And this is also mentioned at the outset in Srimad Bhagavatam, where it said Srimad Bhagavatam speaker should be Nirmat Saranam Satam. There should be no Matsara, envy in the heart. So that is the quality of a Srimad Bhagavatam speaker. And Srila Prabhupada also says, therefore purity is the force. Purity is the force for generating, for churning maximum nectar out of a Krishna Katha. Now the question is, now I am sitting in this yasasan, so obviously I'm nowhere near those standards. So I do have lust, anger, envy, greed, pride in my heart. Therefore Srila Prabhupada's one message saves all of us in one sense and gives us an opportunity to purify ourselves, not considering ourselves as a speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. As long as Prabhupada mentions, as long as you repeat whatever I have said as it is, then your message becomes perfect, even though we may remain imperfect. So that is, as when we speak in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is our that is the mood that Srila Prabhupada has advised us to be in. Don't color the message. Give the message as it is, so the message becomes perfect. But of course, it doesn't absolve us from being responsible in our bhakti. It doesn't give us a clean chit not to struggle in overcoming our anarthas of pride, anger, lust, envy and greed. So, the speaker benefits the most by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And once we speak, then we have to live it. So that is also a good pressure on us to behave ourselves after that. And to do what? And to do exactly whatever we have spoken. The second person who benefits most is the inquisitive devotee. Inquisitive hearer. So, in one lecture I was hearing, there are two types of people who hear. The Shrota and the Sota. The Shrota means one who hears, and Sota in Hindi means one who sleeps during Srimad Bhagavatam class. Okay. So, the Shrota and the Sota. So, here it talks about the inquisitive devotee who hears attentively and asks questions. Please don't ask me questions after this class. So, questions should go there on that side. All senior devotees are sitting there. So, but yes, it is said that one who hears attentively and asks questions. And it is said that questions will come to the extent we are materially exhausted. If we are materially exhausted, then questions will start coming. Which means that if we are very comfortable in material life, then there is nothing, we'll say, good life mate, no questions are coming. Everything is so nice. Okay, so nice katha, but no questions. I enjoy material life also and I enjoy Krishna katha also. So I have no questions to ask. So, material exhaustion gives more questions. Prabhupada often reiterates that the more one feels helpless, the one more feels helpless under the shelter of material energy, the more one will derive or seek such help from Krishna Katha to tackle the problems which plagues one's life. And the more one takes shelter, therefore, of such Krishna Katha, the faster one's journey is back to Godhead. So the speaker benefits the most, second is the inquisitive hearer, and the third is the devotee who hears, but hears passively. Okay, I'm there in the class, I'm hearing, fine, good.
So such people also make benefit. But of course, the benefit is relatively slower than the other two categories towards perfection. So that is the ninth point. And very briefly, the 10th and the 11th point before we wind up. The 10th point is from the Mundaka Upanishad. All of us are trying to achieve perfection in our struggling to achieve perfection in our sadhana. We are trying to become better and better devotees so that we can face Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters. And we don't do anything abominable that displeases the Vaishnavas. So it is the Mundaka Upanishad gives a very interesting quote. And Srila Prabhupada takes that quote from Mundaka Upanishad and puts it in the 10th canto. The verse Srila Prabhupada quotes is, Yasmin vignate sarvam evam vignatam bhavati. Which means, simply by understanding Krishna, simply by understanding Krishna and talking about Krishna, one becomes a perfectly learned person. So if we want to become a perfectly learned person, only talk Krishna Katha. Understand, of course. Simply understand and then speak Krishna Katha. That's the 9th point. Or that's the 10th point. And the final one. The final discussion, the conclusion after hearing all this is that all of us, we are in the quest of Krishna Prem. We are we are constantly trying to improve ourselves in our spiritual sadhana. Now when we see these exalted personalities, okay, what they are trying to do, actually they are very perfect souls. Maitreya Muni is a perfected soul, so is Vidur. But still the Krishna Katha is going on, because in their humility, a humble devotee never feels that I am exalted. Feeling exalted is the first sign of fall down. Okay. So we see this constant quest for perfection in these devotees through discussing Krishna Katha. All these exhausted personalities, they keep churning the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit, that churning is happening. Sutta Goswami sages are churning. Maitreya Muni and Vidur are churning. So constantly people are churning the Srimad Bhagavatam. And from one topic to another, from one theme to another, the Srimad Bhagavatam is progressing. And we are in one such milestone today, where again now it is leading to the Rudra Gita. Now, Maharaj Parikshit is considered as the best in Shravanam, in hearing. Srila Prabhupada explains why. Prabhupada says, why? Because he was expecting death at any moment. At any moment he was expecting death. He knew that he was going to go. So, Prabhupada therefore says that we too are advised to be conscious of the fact that Ayur Harati Vaipumsam Udyan Ashtam Jayan Aso Tasyarte Yat Shanonita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. That with every rising and setting of the sun, we are also one step closer to death. So it doesn't matter whether we are young or whether we are old, because we don't know when death will come. What matters most is the urgency, the extent of urgency one feels at any point in time in his or her life to become fully Krishna conscious before death comes knocking. So if one hears Krishna Katha with this sense of urgency for oneself, then one's hearing becomes perfect and one is immediately able to perceive all the benefits of Krishna Katha as it is promised in the scriptures that we just discussed. So I will stop here and ask if there are any corrections or any points. Pranapu. So I'll just repeat what Keshav Prabhu has taught us in the class. So of course you know the answer to this, but still. So whatever little I have heard from him, because we have had the opportunity to study Srimad Bhagavatam under Keshav Prabhu for many years. So Keshav Prabhu keeps hammering this point also, that our hearing is very integral to our chanting. In fact, once Kesha Prabhu was teaching us from one of Srila Prabhupada's purports, where Prabhupada has actually written, hearing is more important than chanting. So, and Kesha Prabhu was explaining the class, yes, chanting is the most important, that is a Yuga Dharma, but hearing gives us inspiration to chant. Unless, so the quality of our, he explained that the quality of our chanting depends upon the admiration that we have for Lord Krishna. Just like, for example, a very mundane example, that in teenage, the boy cannot help thinking of the person who he is. She is attracted to. Or, for example, sometimes, you know, let's say I'm pursuing a sport. Let's say I'm pursuing cricket as a sport. Or let's say lawn tennis as a sport. Then, the more and more I hear about the glories of, great personalities who have achieved great things in that sport, the more and more then I start falling in love with that personality. And then more and more that person is in my thoughts and in my consciousness. So, the more and more we hear Krishna Katha, go deep into the intricacies of how Lord Krishna thinks at very various points in time, and why Lord Krishna spoke like this, why he did like this with a particular Gopa or Gopi or with Mother Yashoda. You know, the more we go deeper and deeper into it, the more we understand, we immerse ourselves with the thinking of the Lord. Also, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has several times explained that Lord Krishna is also instructing us through his personal example on how to act in particular situation, either through himself or Lord Krishna is glorifying. Look how my devotee acted in this particular situation. So, when we keep in touch with that vani of Srimad Bhagavatam, then when we, and as much as we do it in a day, it gives us clarity in our life, plus it also gives inspiration to all of us. And that inspiration then is very contagious when it comes, when we sit for chanting. That just yesterday I had a brilliant class from, let's say, Devamrit Swami or, Jayapadaka Maharaj, or so many exalted personalities are there. So they come and inspire us with this katha, and then when we hear that, and then kind of that fan is still rotating even after the switch is switched off, and it kind of, at least the next day's chanting is very good. But after some time, obviously, if we keep that switched off, then it wears off, and then again mundane subject matters will fill in our hearts. Just for example, two days back only, I was talking to one devotee, because 3 days back we both heard lecture from a very exalted personality. And the person was telling me that, this is so wonderful. I heard I'm fully rejuvenated. And, I just, with my own example, I said, yes, that rejuvenation will last only for, maybe 1 or 1.5 days. Before again, we forget what that person said. For example, Amarendra Prabhu was here. He gave us the life story of His Holiness Aindra Prabhu. Such a beautiful rendition of Aindra Prabhu's pastimes, and what kind of a Rasika Bhakta Aindra Prabhu was. And that sustained, personally, that sustained my chanting for many days. But then I am realizing that now, unless I keep hearing that again and again, then it is very difficult. After 1 year, Aindra Prabhu, exactly what happened, I don't remember. It'll become like that. But the fervor, the seriousness which Aindra Prabhu had, the more and more continuously when we hear, the next day, following day, it keeps on sustaining. So that is my limited realization, Prabhuji. So I'll actually request you to enlighten me more on this.
So important to actually be in touch with Krishna's pastime, because you're there with him and you visualize him.
Thank you very much. Thank you for putting it very nicely. I was trying to go on and on, but you put it very succinctly, bro. Thank you. Yes, bro. One second. Yeah.
First of all, on behalf of everybody, I want to thank you for giving such a wonderful class.
Thank you.
And pretty sure you must have had such a big class. So many points you told, you can't, I can't remember. So many
thank you, bro.
Only one or two people were there in the audience. Srila Prabhupada said that you don't know, Narayana Muni came, Muni was there.
Yeah.
So, as you were saying, that is the fact that when you are giving such a good class, a lot of demigods come and
And that also reminds me, Prabhuji, that when you talked about Srila Prabhupada, Kesha Prabhu was once telling us in the class that Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, amongst he marked Srila Prabhupada specifically amongst his many disciples and said that this man likes to hear. You know, he said so. So that is another. Thank you for reminding me about that. Prabhuji, yes. It will be slower to that extent, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I was wondering, because I know my devotee is a very nice devotee, and it's been amazing devotional service, but like, what will happen? Like, they don't wait systematically.
It's a very difficult question you're asking me. So I don't have the realizations to answer that, because my Srimad Bhagavatam is also, you know, like that. So it's not that I have, I can answer that question in that sense. But what happens, nothing is going to happen. We are just going to continue. In Srimad Bhagavatam says, bhajanna pakva tha pate tato yadi. Which means if in this lifetime, we are not able to attain that, we carry forward in the next lifetime from where we left off. But given that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is one of our acharyas in disciple sessions, given that he is saying that, then it is imperative therefore. There is no substitute for not hearing in the way that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said. But then again, it is not different to anything that Srila Prabhupada is telling us. Srila Prabhupada, whatever regimen he has given us, Prabhupada himself said that, study my books. Prabhupada always said, study my books, you know, hear my classes. So as long as we hear that, follow the four regulative principles, then Chant Prabhupada said that, you know, that is what you need to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. So we have to have faith that, you know, we don't have to do anything extraordinary. It's not that, you know, because we said that means we have to read some extraordinary pastimes of Lord Krishna. Rather, whatever Srila Prabhupada has given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Nectar of Instruction, whatever is there to be known, Srila Prabhupada has given. So just within the realm of Srila Prabhupada books, that instruction of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is already present. All that content that is required is already there in Srila Prabhupada's books. And Srila Prabhupada has also given the methodology of how to, you know, study Srimad Bhagavatam. Just to add to your question, Srila Prabhupada in the VTE material where we have these courses, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Srila Prabhupada also said that one must write exams. Okay. Prabhupada writes that actually. I have said that repeatedly. I have seen that during my Bhakti Shastri, during my Bhakti Vaibhav, and now in Bhakti Vedanta also, when we started the course, Kesha Prabhu reminded us. Prabhupada says you must take exams. For many students who are doing these courses, I'm sure you will agree that committing yourself to systematic study course and subjecting ourselves to examinations, this is not like a mundane examination where we get an, you know, MA literature and then, you know, we don't look at that ever after that. It's not like that. This is spiritual literature. This is bhakti. This is jnana for the sake of bhakti. So personally, this kind of reading has personally helped me. Studying from first canto onwards and taking exams, because the way the papers are set, especially by Kesha Prabhu, because I have studied from him, under him, so I am mentioning his name. There are other exalted teachers like Gangeshwar Prabhu is there, you know, and Goparandesh Prabhu, and I have many conversations. Goparandesh Prabhu also tells me the meticulous way in which Gangeshwar Prabhu prepares for, you know, each and every class, and how affectionately and seriously he delivers, you know, how meticulously he delivers the class in each of his. So we have in our congregation, you know, Kesha Prabhu, Gangeshwar Prabhu are, you know, teaching these courses, plus we have Prana Prabhu. So many people are here, you know, who can, you know, kind of give us knowledge on how to, you know, study the scriptures, who have been deeply associated with teaching and learning. Kesha Prabhu's class definitely has, you know, has immense benefit. I have benefited immensely by systematic study of Srimad Bhagavatam right from first canto. Now, of course, we are at the end of 10th canto in our Bhakti Vedanta course. But the way Kesha Prabhu sets the papers, it is such that if you have not understood, first of all, if you have not studied every single purport that is there, we will not know from which section he is asking the question. Forget about answering. Mahatma Prabhu, am I right? We will not know. Mahatma Prabhu has been in that journey right from 2005 when we started the Bhakti Vaibhav. So we will not know from which section it is coming. Okay, forget what to speak of, you know, answering the question. So now when you are under that, when you subject yourself to that pressure, of course, we can still come unprepared and not studying Prabhupada's purpose and still write. But at the end of the day, we'll only get a certificate. Okay, because Vaishnavas being merciful necessarily may not fail everyone. Okay, we may not study the key memory verses which are supposed to be studied. Okay, so we don't want to become a Shastric scholar by reciting Sanskrit verses here and there. But there are key memory verses and the reason why, you know, the education board has given those key memory verses. So studying those and will also help us in meditating on the verse. For example, this verse, Nivritta Tarsheir Upagiya Manat, it's such a beautiful verse. In fact, you know, when I remember that when I heard it from, you know, Keshav Prabhu's first time in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, this verse was just resonating on and on. It's such a beautiful verse. So sometimes those key memory verses also inspire us in our bhakti. We cannot ignore the fact that, you know, key memory verses are not important. So we have to do the key memory verses and study also. And when we subject ourselves to examinations, then we are compelled to study it in a particular way. And that's where, you know, by the grace of His Grace Anirudh Prabhu and Achindra Mathi, in this temple, our temple is one of the best in terms of, at least I have found it. No, I'm nobody to comment on any temple, but by Krishna's mercy, I've had the opportunity to be to several temples, limited though. But I have found that our temple is very high, you know, in terms of the focus on Shastric education. So therefore, you know, it's a good opportunity for all of us to take full advantage, you know, of what Anirudh Prabhu has provided to all of us. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, they must study, yeah. Kesha Prabhu has also said, again, when we went through Srila Prabhupada's purports, that when we focus too much on only seva without study, then that seva can give us pride instead of humility. Okay. Because when we do too much seva, then that seva also will give us a lot of recognition. Oh, Prabhu, you are doing so many services, you did such big projects, etc. But it is the Srimad Bhagavatam which will keep us prevent pride from entering the heart, which comes from accomplishments in our seva. So therefore, there is no substitute for hearing. That is why it is said, no, in the Navaveda Bhakti, Pada Sevanam and everything is there, but Shravanam is the first one. Because Shravanam gives us the value systems. It gives us the core values at all points in time and keeps us in check all the time. So that is my limited understanding. Okay, so since it's 9 o'clock, I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Nitya Gaur Premanandi.